Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, Ms. Gill?
Yes, good morning.
I can now hear you. You know what's happening just now.
Okay.
A couple of things there, love. Your last caller, Patrick, Mr. King, I suggest to him that he used to spend more energy of organizing or reorganizing the candidates for the Barbados Labour Party. And in that way, the young lady who's now running for the city is doing a tremendous job. I had a conversation with her before she became a candidate. It was even thinking about contesting any elections. But I went to the city here, the Orleans and Wellington Street, those places. And she's a young lady, and she seems to have an idea of what she is looking to do for the young folks that she sees that sit down or just waste their life all year round in the city. The other thing is that she's getting a lot of support. And some people, not all, have a lot of money bet out that this same young lady will get over 1,000 votes. I like to also take part in betting. And I have talked to a friend of mine and I tell him that this young lady, Nadia, is going to get more votes than Lynette Eastman. Now, this is where it's going to happen now. Let's assume that she gets over 1,000 votes, right? And the Democratic Party still maintain the amount of support they had. You know what's going to happen to Jeffrey Bosket.
You never know.
But the conclusion is, look, the writing is on the wall. This election in the city, for what I've been told by the people out there, is between the young lady and the member for the Democratic Labour Party here. She is gaining more and more. So right now, on Instagram, she has over 50,000.
So who did you speak to in the constituency to come to the conclusion that you came to?
Elderly people, young people, all sorts of people.
Oh, you went and did a canvassing?
Yes, that would tell you.
Okay. Elderly, how many people did you canvass out of this?
I would say about 130.
Okay, you went to a number of people.
130. Who were you friends?
This was before the announcement?
No, this is just last week. No, this is just last week.
Okay.
Some people told me that she might not win because if she had belonged to a political organization, she definitely would have won the seat. But some people is not too convinced that she's going to win. Mm-hmm. But I would tell you, if she don't win, I think she's going to put up a tremendous fight.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see on the paper now, the odds on her is like, you know anything about horse racing?
A little bit. My husband
right.
follows it.
But I see the punters near have for her on the punters list. You know, they have a punters list that every election they vote. Well, if Lisa Gear ready for some Michael North, Lisa Gear will be rated at 3-1, mm-hmm. which means that you will be a favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, on the punters list for this young lady, she's at 2-9, which is say that she should not lose. And the DLP candidate, he's at 3-1. But look at what the pundits got for Jeffrey Bosket. No, he's at 25-1. In other words, if you bet a dollar on him, it will be $25 plus the $1, you will get $26. So see, he is not a favorite now to win this to gain the seat. You understand how the pundits list work. But let's look at another one. It is expected that Sandra Bradshaw is going to lose. It's expected that. Again, 150 people, they were polled. The gentleman there, Mr. Grant, he got 75% of the votes. So I would say this for a long time, though, that he Sadia Bradshaw might lose her seat. But the one that used to look at is Kim Tudor and Mr. Topping. That is going to be a very funny one.
So this, you did a poll, sir?
Yeah, I worked for Canterbury.inc.
Okay.
You would soon, yes, sir, you would soon get the information out there. He's
oh,
working.
So this is your preliminary information. So you would have done
yeah,
your
preliminary. Yeah,
you did where? You did Bridgetown. You did
I
St.
Did
Michael
Bridgetown,
North.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you want St. Michael Selfie. So that, you want me to stand here, Bradshaw.
So that's St. Michael Selfie.
Yeah. The one that we are working on now is the one for St. John. No, St. John.
Sorry, just to be clear, you did Bridgetown, you did St. Michael Selfie, and so you did St. Michael North.
St. Michael North, yeah.
Okay.
St. Michael North is going to be a very tricky one. But the one that really intrigued me and really interests to me is, what sort of support would this guy, oh dear, Kerry Simmons, I'm looking at him.
That's St. James, right. But for
the Democratic Party.
Not North, isn't that Central?
Central, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Well, North would be one at the...
Mr. Edmund Hinkson.
That's right, that mm-hmm. the lawyer used to have that seat for a very long time, right?
Yes.
Right, right. St. James South would be Donovan Innes.
So your next poll is St. James where?
Just St. James and St. James Central and the one with Cameron. Cameron is going to be a very funny one. Cameron is one of the people that we have predicted that might lose his seat and also age geographics.
You did St. Philip as well?
Yes, ever since last year. I told you so last year.
St. Philip, what's that?
St. Philip, I did St. Philip North, which will be Gary Michael. I expect that Michael is going to win that seat convincingly. Dr. Sonia Brown is going to put up a fight, but Michael's going to win that.
Okay.
David Estrick with John King. That's one of the decisions that John King, he will learn from his experience.
So based on your poll, my question to you is, what kind of prediction can you make?
You mean regarding the poll? So far, based on Mr. Canterbury's poll, it suggested that the DLP will go on to retain the government. The Barbados Labour Party will be the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a possibility, a very good possibility, that young lady might be one of the independent leaders.
Mm-hmm.
A candidate who we're going to seek. But with Mr. Lynette Eastman, the poll also suggested, and the computer suggested that Lynette will not
the
get...
Computer.
Yeah, uh-huh. Suggested that she would not get 100 votes.
The WhatsApp responses are interesting. We have a number of persons.
Let me share some of them.
Somebody's telling you that the followers of Ms. Harewood are mostly international, so you can't expect that her followers will translate to...
I'm talking about the term
4,000. And then another WhatsApp caller says here, Lisa, of the 4,000 followers on Facebook, 75% of those will be school children. So, as we know, this first-past-the-post system is a little different.
I'm talking about what the actually people in Barbados that is going to vote. I'm not really... I just know that she has a lot of followers.
Followers may not necessarily be in her constituency.
I'm not talking them at all. I'm talking about what she has in Barbados. She has a lot of followers in Barbados, and we can't deny that.
But followers as in election votes? Because we're talking election. We're not talking about
Instagram
popularity.
But you don't, Mr. Gale, you don't know who's going to vote. I might tell you that I'm going to vote for X, and then the election morning, I don't go to work. But I presume, yes, we can only presume, you know, that mm-hmm. these people will vote, but there's no guarantee that I'm going to vote. Because don't forget that last election, it was around over 90,000 Barbados, eligible Barbados, who did not cast a vote, which is around 40% of the voting population. You there with me?
I'm here.
Right. So I heard there, but let's make the point that things are not so good. And due to the fact that things are not so good, he expect that more people will turn out now to vote. I totally disagree with that.
What are you doing to, given your relationship with politics, etc., what are you doing to get an increased voter turnout?
What am I doing to get increased voter turnout?
Yes.
But you put your ideas out there, and there's the people that accept them, If they don't want them, they don't want them.
Okay.
But you asked me, how do I convince people not to go out and vote?
You said you were in the trenches. You said to me earlier, in the very first part of your conversation, you said you polled about 100 persons in the city
over the last week.
I'm just asking if there was a conversation about, are they going to vote, or if it was just, who are you voting for?
No. There was a conversation if they were going to vote. The conversation had to do with if they think Miss Nadia will have a chance of winning the seat as an independent candidate. I didn't ask anybody if they were going to vote. No. And
okay.
It was like I asked you if you were going to vote for DB or nothing. So it was nothing. So, but the support that she got, if the support she got, talking to people, would be the same as the election day. That would be a
different
ball game. Yes. You understand me? You with me so far?
Yeah.
The other thing is now leadership and his style. And what I discussed with the same young lady is that what she's looking at, she asked me to define a pain. What's your definition of a pain?
Of a what?
A pain.
Could you spell it? I'm not hearing you properly.
P-E-N.
My definition of a pen?
Yeah.
An instrument that you use to make sure you write something or put stuff down? Is a writing instrument?
Yeah.
Where you apply ink to a surface and then you get a...
You know what you said? It's an instrument used in writing, but the mere component of a pen is the ink. No, because you write with crayon, you can write with chalk, and chalk may component with calcium. Now, that is the point that she was trying to make. The main component is ink. Now, put that
the main component of what? The main component
of a pen. Of a pen is ink. That's the main component. That
no,
was
I think it's a whole instrument. But
no, no, no.
Continue.
No.
Let me see.
If you don't have ink, it's not a pen, Mr. Mystic. It would not be considered a pen. A pencil does carry ink, and a pencil is right. And a pencil
so
is
if you, if I just give you a bottle of ink, bottle of ink, would you be able to write?
No.
Right, so the point I'm making to you, it is the fulsome instrument. Applicator, which has the top piece, the holder, the ink, etc. That's all I'm saying.
But if you don't have the ink, it still will not be a pen. If you have all those other things that you're talking about.
If we had any of the things by themselves, they wouldn't work either.
That is true. But this is what the point that she was making. And she was looking at the fact that the main thing of a pay about this economic, it would be the tourist industry, right? That's the main thing. But she is saying, though, that she would like to see it going beyond that. That we look and like what there's in Silicon Valley with these young people that will be able to produce these computer programs and we could get people from overseas come and set up these sort of industries in Barbados. And that's what she look out for, the young, bright people who are gifting that area.
You're
area
very popular, though.
Pardon me? I'm
deliberately crossing you. I didn't have the WhatsApp in front of me earlier, but it is right in front of me, and they're coming in fast and furious. You know, what part of the city did you take the poll? I live in the city, and I've never heard about this poll. It seems like if you're working for the Dems, the person
says. No. I was in Wellington. Let me call the place, my dear. Wellington Street.
I could have read some more if you want me to continue.
Pardon me?
But I was going to read those several WhatsApps. Will you continue?
Wellington Street, Vine Street, Chapman Street, and New Orleans.
Okay.
And Sattel Street.
And the person wants to know about the poll for St. John, not just Bridgetown. What is the poll for St. John you said you visited?
They're not competing yet, but I expect it, to be quite honest, I expect it, if the run is against St. John, Lisa is going to win, I think, for the DLP. I don't expect that to change.
Who's this?
Pardon me?
If they run who?
You. If you were to run for St.
No,
John.
No, we're talking a serious thing here. You said you did a poll. My question to you is, what is the outcome of the
poll?
You
want to know what's happening to St. John?
Yes.
St. John is going back to DLP. They're going back. Most of the people poll is in St. John said they voted for the DLP. They didn't bring who you bring down there. And there were 300 people that voted. But poll has said 5% said that they were supporting the DLP.
This one so here says, good morning, Lisa. This caller is very wrong in his prediction that the DLP will regain the government. If it is, he was attending the DLP meetings, especially in the one in Burr Hall. He will see how wrong he is. But again, we can't go by what people, the meetings people attend.
Please, that person that said that WhatsApp, you have to be in support. There were meetings held, a meeting held. Going to meetings don't mean that everybody that goes to meetings support the BLP, you know.
So what I would do, I heard you. What I would do, I think we've spoken a bit about the poll.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing the outcome and the results of your poll. Could you give us a name first before
Scatterbrain.inc.
Scatterbrain.inc.
Yeah, very ready. But also look for
me. And it's going to be published in the press?
Hopefully. But you also look for me on the political platform. My party is the Social Democrats.
Well, you're adding another party to your friend. I asked you this just only 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, five small
Four
parties.
Weeks ago, and you said you were not running. You said that y'all are just...
No, we are campaigning, but we are not running. We are supporting that young lady too. We are putting our support budget.
But last time you said you were supporting the Democratic Liberal Party.
But we changed.
Oh, you changed. Oh.
Yeah, we want to see something different. Something different, so I do.
This is interesting. So the philosophy you had prior to the entry of the new entrant has changed.
I changed. Basically. And okay. I like it. To see somebody new and fresh is coming to run for elections. And it was going to be interesting. And you know what I would rejoice is? If that girl win, and I would go on first people to start a problem and shake her hand.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Our call numbers are 434-1790, and our WhatsApp is 266-IVOB. It is now 11:09. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, I responded to call you called the historian.
Okay.
He is saying that Erbar led the Democratic Party in 1961 during election. I beg to differ. Mm-hmm. Erbar did lead the party in the election. Franco was chairman of the party, but he didn't lead the party in the election. Erbar did lead it.
Okay.
So he come in all these books, thing looking for book and all that sort of thing.
He said he has book. He said he has a book and he's shared with VOB.
Well, he said he was 10 years old at the time, so he won't have that on the time. What is the difference between leadership and not? But I don't know. You always come with a lot of misinformation. I do think you all should correct him at times. Mm-hmm. Everybody did lead the party. Hello?
It would be good for us to see the book, and as I shared with him, it's also good to get other information to corroborate his story.
Well, I ain't got a good buddy book. I know it first hand.
Okay.
I was around. I was supporting the party.
How old are you now, if I may ask?
I'm 80-something, 81.
Okay. Good stuff. You reach a good age, man. You're back now, man. Bro.
I had first hand now. I followed the party.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before, when the election came in down Fairside Street Market,
mm-hmm.
I had a chat with us.
Okay.
I was among the people that I think we called it the bus stand cabinet.
Okay.
Yeah. You remember that? I don't know if you remember them days. I
heard about it.
Right. All of these big guys there that night when he came down from St. John and came into the Fairside Street I had a chat with us.
Okay.
So I don't know where this fella got this information from.
Is it possible that there's just a, just technicality in terms of the...
I don't know.
Because you're saying that Barrow was that Mr. Branca was the chairman of the party and Mr. Barrow is the one who led him.
Led it, right. The political side of it, right.
Right. And
you call leading the party in the election.
Okay. So who was the face of the party? Who was the face of the party at that time?
It was Erbar.
Okay.
Everybody was things with emphasis was Erbar, and he led the party.
Okay.
And the election, you had to be like Chami Chua, Kwame, and all that was around.
Remember? Yes. Yeah. Indeed. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hello, morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, ma'am. Right. What's your name?
My name is Lisa Gale.
Oh, hello, ma'am. Lisa Gale, ma'am. I've called there a few times. I've spoken to Peter Wickham. I've spoken to a few other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't call there too regular,
mm-hmm.
all the time, very often. But I was only listening to your radio program a bit this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 2 points I'd like to make. The first caller that that made a mention to you just a few moments ago about this prime minister, what he said that he planning to do.
Okay.
Past the 90 days or so?
Yes.
Yeah, because I haven't been a well person. I had a problem with my heart and so.
Ooh.
But,
feeling better
when
now?
Hello?
Feeling better now?
Yeah, this morning right now, I just feel a bit jittery talking on your radio right now, but I'm just trying to keep calm.
Mm.
At least I take medication for anxiety and so, because my mother died when I was 7 going on 8 and so.
Ooh. So if you have these issues, you shouldn't really be following this politics. This is truly a race that will cause your pressure to go high and
affect your
heart health.
Yeah, because the way the Prime Minister has spoke on the TV, jumped my head.
See,
and it made me feel uncomfortable and I can't sleep too well the next night.
You need to not follow the politics of the day right now, honestly.
Yeah, I tend not to get too deep into it all the time. But it was
Put your mind on more eternal things, man. Calming things.
Because there's something else I would like to say too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also believe that persons, gay, lesbian, and so should be treated equally as everyone else. Because I see some things there on the computer because I recently got back the internet,
mm-hmm.
and it appears to me that King James that gave us our Bible was a homosexual.
Because
I didn't know that, but the next thing to be showing up because there's this guy called Bill Dunn who I've been listening to on the computer. And I checked him after he finished showing me. about it, because King James had a close friend named George Villiers, the Duke of Buckingham. He was actually a normal person, But he elevated him in that high position.
Mm-hmm. You read this. You read this
on the net.
And you believed it just like that. As I've repeated here two or three times already for the morning, make sure that when you get information, it is information that is tested and tried and has been cited in more than one source.
I listened to several videos and I realized it seemed to be true because I didn't look at.
By listening to videos.
Not just the videos, going to Google and searching it out. And they found a secret passageway between his bedroom and another guy, George Villiers' room, inside a palace called Aggathorpe Palace up in Nottinghamshire, England.
A couple years ago, I read about Zondervan and the dark side of Zondervan and a lot of stuff. I usually am very careful with what I... But tell me what you're telling me beyond that. You said that the homosexuals must be treated equally.
Yeah, I believe they should be treated equally. Fully agreed. Yeah, because I saw a program also. The CYC in the computer is not bad because it's educational. Because some of the things that it's showing you there, I don't often hear about. Because there's a parable that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 12, verse 19, that a lot of Christians don't seem to read much and don't quite understand when you talk about eunuchs. And he said that there's some eunuchs which were still born from their mother's womb. He that was able to receive this teaching, then receive it. Now, when he was referring to eunuchs in those days, there were three types of eunuchs. There was one eunuch in those days that was a castrated male. They were also used for sexual purposes and some slaves and so.
Yes.
And there were eunuchs as well, too, that in those days, and he was talking about who abstained from marriage because they believed that when they were celibate, they had a close relationship
holy,
with God.
Yes. Had a chance to put more focus on their relationship.
Right. And also there were eunuchs, and he the same guy that showed me, and I checked out on net too as well. There was a Roman official called Eupian. He understood the story of eunuchs that Jesus talked about in Matthew 12. And he actually, he was a Roman official, but he actually allowed persons of the same gender at that time in the Roman Empire to not only marry, but to adopt children. But you know, and I heard the guy say a lot of people don't know this stuff. You know, this is interesting educational material I saw there on the net. Because I see there also that in Africa, there's a group of chimpanzees called the bonobos. They mate with both male and female, and by doing that, they don't fight over each other, over who shall have the food. They all of them share the food equally with each other. That's educational programs I saw there. And looking at the animal kingdom and how some of them socialize in order to avoid conflict, I saw that there in an area there in Africa, there near the Congo, down there in Africa.
Okay.
Because I even saw on the computer that before the slaves... Before the slave trade affected Africa, there was even an African tribe called the Azande. They would take young boys and mentor them and teach them how to fight. And they were actually do have relations with them as well. And it wasn't stigmatized. So, you know, there's a lot about our human race that we don't know. You know, we're just looking at everything through a one-sided way, but there's a lot that we don't know.
So essentially then, we should treat people with respect, treat people equally.
Yeah, and I also believe, too, that I know the Democratic Party, what bothered me too as well is that one day I was going to Bridgetown, I saw them saying, don't vote for the Barbary State Party because they're going to legalize same-sex marriage. You know what I mean? They want to use it as a fighting political thing like that. But, you know, I'm sorry that the Barbary State Party, I know that they're focused on the economy and the problems with South Coast and other things like that. But I do wish that the Barbary State Party or others would at least, you know, address it as an issue that, you know, that because they're part of our society, they seem to be play a large part because there's even
Who is a part of our society?
The gay and lesbian community.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, they're part of our society. Because if they could allow Natalie Hayward, who was a farmer, I'm not accusing her of anything because she thought very well, because I don't know anything about her personal life, but I saw it on YouTube. And she did speak out against people selling the bodies, but they made allegations about her and so on. But she seems to be a very loving, caring person. So, you should treat everyone, you know, equally, because there's just a lot of information that has been hidden from the public that you just don't know about. That should be brought to the public.
So treating people equally. I like what the essence of what you're saying. And it is something.
Because one helped Dr. King in his speech. One of the members of the lesbian community helped Dr. King. Also, I see that King David in the Bible had a beautiful poem really composed for Saul and Jonathan when they're killed by the Philistines. It's taken from a lost book called the Book of Jasher. Ray describes Jonathan as loving him more than the love of women.
Yeah, loving brothers love more detail, but I don't know that it's more than the love of women, though.
It's there. I see it. Because the Hebrew word there is ahava, which means the same way how a man describes his love for a woman.
Erotic
so there seems
love.
To be some questions about that, because there's another verse where that Saul makes a remark by saying, you know you've been companion with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness. Now, that near nakedness in Hebrew is irva, which is a euphemism for sex. Mm-hmm. So there's some things in there. There are questions in there that we don't know. A lot of things that we don't know, because I was even watching on the same computer, you know, the birth of Jesus? That we're, hello?
I'm listening to you.
You know the birth of Jesus that, you know, the birth of Jesus that we know, we're familiar with? The Nativity? As I always been taught about the word virgin in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, of Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, they're showing me that in the Hebrew Bible, that the word virgin is alma, word for young woman is alma, but the Greek changed the Bible to the word virgin, and that's why we get the word virgin in our Bible, because the Greek was the common Bible at the time of Jesus, so because Greek was thing, but Jesus spoke Aramaic. You know, there's just a lot of things in language and interpretation that you see when you look at all this stuff.
I just want to say the book of Joshua was written long after the scriptures, so it's not contemporary.
There are lots of things that missing, though. There's a lot of information that we just don't have access to, because
there
even
is, but you know what I always say, I do, and myself, I pray, and there's some information that I don't need to know. It may sound bad, it may sound a little puerile, but me trying to find out a lot of things about what took place in Egypt, and you know, there's some things I can't have an answer for.
Yeah,
and
I always
ask for clarity. I always pray about understanding this and understanding that. And there's some things that we would not be able to answer. What man has been called to do is to respect, to love, to care. To, you know, there are a few things that aren't difficult, and there are a few things that are very simply stated. And that's how we are supposed to live. And I agree with you that we should treat people equally.
Yeah, like the Good Samaritan or so, because the Samaritans were despising Jesus there, but Jesus thought about including them
loving
as well.
Them, yeah. Only this
still have Samaritans today. You could go to area in Israel, and I think there's 750-something Samaritans left. They're in the endangered population, but they still have them dressed in white and had the services on Mount Gerizim up in the Galilee region. So
they were treated like outcasts in the city. The Jews didn't, you know, walk with them or talk with them, etc.
Yes, yeah. Because
thank you so much, sir, for your contribution. I like your comment, which is essentially that we should treat people equally. And I hope that those listeners out there hear that call that we should treat people equally. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Remember, we take a break at 11:55 p.m. for the regional roundup. You're on the air, sir.
Yes, good morning, Lisa. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I wanted to support you in your call this morning that there will be reform in the educational matter.
Mm-hmm.
I know that politics is large and in charge these days, and particularly the delay in the calling of the election. Mm-hmm. However, we don't have that in our hands, so we will wait until the time and do what has to be done.
That's right.
Now, this matter of the education, I think, to be the most critical matter facing our country going forward. If we want to develop an entrepreneurial class, we want to develop a people punching above our weight, the most critical component in that development is self-development. Your human resource becomes your greatest asset. Mm-hmm. If your human resource doesn't have confidence in itself, you're going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there is intense need for reform. Now, this reform and what form it should take is what is critical. We need to, in my opinion, and I'm one having a conversation with you on this, since you are looking in this direction. I have also heard some ads by Matt Fingal clearly showing that he is also seeing the need for serious reform.
Mm-hmm.
Where our current school system is predominantly academic, but we need to be developing core competence.
Yep.
Now, I am not quite 100 on how we will get teachers to search out core competence, even though I am fully aware that it will emerge. It is an emerging thing. You have to, for instance, in Norway, children don't do much initially, and you allow them to pretty much
be children, just develop.
Be children, just grow
enjoy
up.
Enjoy the world
yes.
they live in. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Space. And they find themselves comfortable in emerges. And this is going to have to be our direction. This is going to have to start at the top with a leadership towards this, so that this obsession with
exams.
I got X amount of children passed for Harrison College, mm-hmm. and that's X so amount of children passed for this school. Mm-hmm. That must stop. That is what is damaging the society.
What I would say is that there could be a potpourri.
A what?
A combination yes. of what you are talking about as well as what exists. So we're not saying to disband what exists.
Right.
There's place for examination. I believe that strongly.
Yes.
And there's place.
Yeah, I support that.
And there's also place for looking at what the weaknesses are now and improving on that. And we do have too large a contingent of persons not getting anything about the from the existing system. And that's
right.
where my challenge comes. That's where my pain
all right.
looks on.
I am fully there with you. That's why I called. No, I am suggesting that we have the normal exam at common entrance, but that we stop separating who moving fast from who moving slow. I don't like that. Imagine that you are a teacher and you have children who have been screened by the screening test, so-called. Mm-hmm. But you are now teaching at a school who the average mark in the screening test was 15 to 20%. How are you going to start teaching the same syllabus to them that you are teaching at the school for those who got 80? That's a misnomer. That teacher
question.
Is starting from frustration, from the word go.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have one student that she could tell you, right, well, if he's getting it out, you know, you could try. So I'm saying let us go towards full zoning and press forward there, because there are serious benefits in children that are at different speeds moving together. We have done the separation thing, and it has gone full service, full circle, and it has expired. It is no longer beneficial to this country. We are now seeing that 80% are paying the price for 20. Mm-hmm. Once we do that, we can then separate them off. Once we have fixed come on this matter of core competence, mm-hmm. come. Once you have fixed on this matter of core competence, mm-hmm. we can now then move towards centers of excellence at 14.
Yeah, so you're talking here about a full revamp.
Yes.
A real, and that's why I said in my opening remarks that it is important for the policymakers to take this thing into consideration and to seriously address an issue that can impact the society positively if it is done right. And I dare say that a lot of the challenges, social challenges that we are having now, is because a lot of our youth have not, you know, they've wasted time, 5 years for some of them,
yeah.
four for some, in a space that they were not, you know, they weren't learning anything,
no,
they weren't getting
right.
anything from it. And there has to, I mean, we have a lot of youth. And you remember when you were 7, you were 8, you were drawing, you were doing different things. You go to Bible study, Bible Vacation College, and you do little, what do you call those things with made out of that chalky type material? And then
that's the thing?
No, chalky, where you actually, my father still has one in his house that we made when we were small children.
Right.
Where you write stuff on, so it's like tablets, you can make it
yes.
out of this chalky white stuff. I can't remember the name of that.
Okay.
But you realize, hey, I can do a little bit of art. And then somebody
right.
goes somewhere and they like the studio. And then, you know, you get opportunities, you do stuff. If you don't get that exposure, then a lot of times, idle time, children get themselves involved in idle activity. And I beg those persons who have a chance to make a difference, even beyond the policymakers now in your classrooms, try to get those children's minds on something positive. Teach them about the world that they live in.
Well, you see, why this thing is so important, and I put it as number one even before the economy, because we are going to fix the economy But you see, if we don't get this right, this economy will fall again.
Indeed.
Because if you have a business, a household,
Plaster Paris. Yes. That's the name.
Whatever resource center you have, whether it's a household, a business, a country, if you have good human resource potential, the thing will grow. You may not have capital, but if you have good human resource, you can see the emergence of good ideas and the emergence of savings and hence the building of capital.
Yes.
Out of which will flow good social ideas.
Agreed.
But if you do not have your human resource sorted out, you are thinking that you will fix these other things. You will find that eventually you will lose even what capital you have acquired because it will be a bad spend. So we have to fix on this particular matter, because if your self-esteem is bad, Lisa, you are not going to be much use to yourself and to anybody else. And that is the key thing that must be understood here. If we are damaging their self-esteem by putting them, banding them together and not realizing that God has given to each a gift.
Each and every one of us.
Each and every one. But I want
sometimes
to thank you.
Several gifts. Indeed.
Yes. That is true.
Thank you so much. I would say here, there, I have a WhatsApp, and I fully agree. He did ask the question, why when somebody brings information from YouTube or Google, we don't question those things. And oftentimes you hear, and this is my posture is really to give people a chance. You don't necessarily always agree with a caller. You give them a chance to say what they want. And I think the countering isn't necessarily always the way to go. Sometimes you just ask a question, or sometimes there may be a fundamental point that they are making which you may agree with, but what they're using, the information that they're using isn't always the right information. Like, for example, the scenario just now with the gentleman who called about the Book of Kashar. What I would say here, it isn't every single time you counter. You know, you let some go and then you respond, you engage some others, and it is not always so there's that balancing act that you have to make. And I do have it is also a gift in order for you to be able to speak on the phone, listen attentively to what the person is saying, and still you have several WhatsApps coming at you. I don't always follow the WhatsApps. Sometimes I give a splurge, I look at them, and then sometimes I don't, and there's some persons who are saying some pretty useful things. But this is a calling program, and we do facilitate WhatsApp given the technological age that we're in. So bear with me as I continue. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Am I on the program?
Yes, you are.
Now, I was listening to the program, and I heard somebody was discussing you about homosexuals and so on.
Yes.
And how should we not discriminate against them?
Yes.
I agree 100% that we should not discriminate against a lot of people. But I would like to enlighten you as a barbarian and a Christian that in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, it records that if a man lies with a man as he lies with a woman, it is abomination in the sight of God. Abomination. And both of them should be put to death. That means that a man should not live with a man, nor a woman live with a woman. That is God's instruction to mankind. I would like to use something as a man at 96 years of age. I started my life from a boy and I grew up. And I found out that while I was taught at Sunday school, that God made woman for man and man for woman. And I was privileged to meet a young lady who said she loved me and fell in love with me. And me and her had a relationship. And it was the best time in my life that I have ever lived that I knew that women were so precious and kind and loving and sweet. And I don't see why a man should like a man. But it doesn't make sense to me. Because I remember one time we was at church. And I come up to church and a man came behind me and told me that he fell in love with me and he loved me. I asked him, said no, that he could use my behind.
Oh.
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
He said that I could use his behind and he could use mine. And I went in the police station quick tour because we were going up Belmont Road.
Oh.
And I went in the police station there. It was done by police station was at the corner of Hawes Road.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the police, how you coming down? A man approached me. And then the man come out and carried me. He carried me home, really. It happens to be the running that long. From those days, I know that men approaches men about living with men. So I only know that from that time.
Okay.
But I'm going to explain something to you that you should know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God made this world with us that we should be loving and kind to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us wisdom and knowledge to live.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that happen there should not happen. It is only happening through the ignorance of how we live and how we do things. Now, I hear a lot of people talk about, I go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the hospital is not there. The hospital, HOSPITAL. Mm-hmm. The people should say, I'm going to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I love hear a lot of people say, Lord, our Father which art in heaven, and ask God not to lead them into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And if he leaves us not when we are temptation, or save us in the time of trial, that is the wisdom from God.
Okay.
God going to lead me not into temptation. God will not lead you into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us not when you are in temptation or serves in the time of trial. And these are things happen every day. And people go along with that and think that they know something and the wise and the educated. But it's not so. A lot of things happening today. When men are homosexuals, they should be taught that it should be married men or men having women and getting children and living to the plans of Almighty God. And not doing to man live man, woman live man. God made it that way. God made it how it is to be. A man to go with a woman and a woman to go with a man. That is what is the truth. And I tell you that as a Christian. I thank you. You sound very intelligent and keep up the good works.
Thank you very much, sir. We have a WhatsApper here who mentions that the garbage collection in Crane, St. Philip is causing some challenges. So if persons who pick up garbage, we hope that the SSA can hear that story for those persons in Crane, St. Philip, they are suffering from not having a garbage truck for quite some time. They said this is 2 weeks now, and the mounting of rubbish in front of the houses, you know, is unacceptable. So if we can mention once again Crane, St. Philip, those persons need a garbage pickup. This is Down to Brass Stats. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Ms. Gale?
Yes, G-A-L-E.
Yes. This is my first time talking to you.
A pleasure.
Yeah, oh, good. I sat down here for nearly half an hour, just holding on. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
I'm a short talker.
Okay.
Now, you had a caller, two, three callers before, but the guy that called was talking about the polls.
Yes.
I don't know how. I asked myself, you don't listen to that guy, that gentleman in the program on the radio. I asked myself if he is the Almighty God. But anyhow, I left it at that.
We know that God is sovereign. He's awesome.
Right,
he's mighty.
Right.
He's many things. He's not human in that form.
Right.
He came before.
Right. But he gets all. He's Mr. All Barb. He speaks for all Barbadians. So
mm-hmm.
I leave it at that, Miss Gale. But anyway, what I really called my little foolish question, because it seems sometimes your senses don't work so good. What is the problem between the between these two parties in this country? What is the hatred between these two parties? Are these two parties one socialized with other color?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, like either mixed races, or this, or the Barbados Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party, they are black people, blacks against blacks.
Mm. Some people argue that there's no real fundamental difference between the Barbados Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party, given that there is a change of administration and life goes on like normal, and the general policies remain. Then there's another school of thought that says that the Barbados Labour Party is more socially driven and they look out for the poor people or the welfare of the people, the Democratic Labour Party, sorry. And then at the same time, the Barbados Labour Party has looked out for the business class, which then generates a more buoyant economy, etc. That's what I've heard over the years as it relates to any fundamental differences, but generally they look out for health sector, education sector, they look after the transport, and they've known to take care of the country. And Barbados has punched above its weight under the tutelage or under the management and leadership of both the Democratic Liberal Party and the Barbados Liberal Party during their varying times in office. So,
okay, Ms. Gill, I will go with that on what you just said. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I sat down this morning and I overheard from a different station. That lady was, she called in the calling program. Mm-hmm. Now, Ms. Gill, I don't know how you look at it, but I look at it from this point of view. This general election now that we are into now, this is a bit confused. And if you look at it carefully from where I'm sitting here and I'm speaking, there are a lot of obstacles in this general election that are coming. And this look to me, I might be wrong, I'm not speaking for all Barbadians, I'm speaking for me.
Mm-hmm.
This election that we will have in Barbados soon, very soon. This looks to me like it'll be a Trump election or a speed election, if you want to call it that way. Mm. Because if you think about it carefully, you're not going to see all the obstacles that are coming from point A, point B, but everybody have a say, mm-hmm. right away. But at the end of the day, Ms. Gill, I ask myself, are all of these good news, this good everything that we are getting,
mm-hmm.
are all of these things that we are saying that if the Barbadian Liberal Party get back into power, they're going to solve the problem. If the Democratic Liberal Party get back into power, they're going to solve the economic situation in this country. We are saying these things because we have a voice to say. Ms. Gill, do you think that this problem is going to solve by way of talking, encouraging this pure minds,
mm-hmm.
and all of these things that are coming up now?
By just talking, or I don't think it's going to solve. We are in a critical, we are at a critical stage economically.
Right.
We're at a critical stage socially, and we are at a critical stage politically.
Correct.
So, where Barbados is now, we require leadership that is going to help to move us from where we are at. And not just move politicians, but I'm talking moving the youth, moving the working class, moving the business class, moving the segments of society that require the help that is needed right now. And I mentioned the scenario where we are economically, that's impacting on all other segments of the country. And We require a significant shift of thinking. We require a significant shift in policy in a number of fronts. And it cannot be business as usual. That's what I would say.